is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Yeah, I believe that's me. Thank you so much for tuning in on a rainy Sunday. We're already into March, and I got the March Madness. No Vegas this year, boys and girls, but I will be watching the basketball. Call me up at the home number if you want to come over and watch a little DirecTV basketball, because I'm already excited. Today, I'm excited as well, because you know what? It's always interesting to talk taxes with people, because everyone has their own opinion on how that should work. And we've got Keith Drake and Chuck Lebo with me here today. We'll be talking about taxes and the efficiency and fairness of them with the Albemarle Truth in Taxation Alliance. And we can do that because of folks like Blue Ridge Graphics Business. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Online, it's brgtshirts.com. And a special shout out to the folks in the Crozet area and the Valley listening on the new 101.1. Thanks for being here. All right, let me, when I say push all my buttons, I don't mean that in any manner other than behind the keyboard. Gentlemen, how are you today? Keith Drake?
Good morning, Rick. Good to be here.
Try that even louder.
Good morning, Rick. Good to be here.
There you go. And Mr. Lebo.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in on a rainy Sunday, because I know you had plans to go outside and play. And so you sat around and said, well, what am I going to do now? You know what? I want to go talk about Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance and share that info with everybody. And for many, I believe, it's prove your point. Is that true? Do you have this conversation? Keith, you're the chairman. Is that the correct title?
Yes.
Chairman for the Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance, ATTA. Do you feel that you have to do that sometimes, prove your point?
Rick, it's not so much of proving a point, although sometimes the discussion does take that direction, but it's more talking about the fundamental principles of county government, of spending, of taxation. And that's where I think the discussion gets interesting. And that's why I think your listeners should be very concerned about their taxation and be very aware. And I'm glad that they're listening on this program, because there's a lot more than just seeing the line item on the bill, paying the taxes, and assuming that the money's well spent. Often it is, but as we found out over the past 3.5 years of the organization, often it's not.
Mr. Lebo, how did you get involved?
Well, I'm a business person in the area. I've been in real estate for the past 35 years, and I manage several properties. And so I have to work for my owners, and I have to work for myself. And when I saw some of the tax increases that were going on primarily 3 or 4 years ago, I became involved with Keith and said, what can we do to help keep costs down, keep our taxes from increasing?
Now, there was a what's the mission statement? Because there's a mission statement, and it starts with a particular incident. So I'd like to hear both.
Well, the mission of the Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance is to ensure that Albemarle County government spends our tax money as effectively and as efficiently as possible. And although our focus is on Albemarle County, I think, Rick, a lot of the principles that we talk about and a lot of the work that we've done over the past 4 years now, really, applies through two localities throughout the state of Virginia. The organization started a little over 4 years ago. I came home, it was late January, I got my mail, and I had my tax assessment. And if you all recall, that year, 2007, the average Albemarle County homeowner, their assessment went up 30% from 2 years prior. We were on every 2 year tax assessments at that point. And I was lucky. Mine only went up 24%. But I sat there looking at it, and I started getting angry, because I knew what was going to happen. For years and years and years, supervisors would enjoy the benefits of that increased assessment, shave a penny or two off the tax rate, say that they were good guys because they provided tax relief, but my tax bill would go up. It's a very simple math. It's the tax rate times your assessment, that equals how much taxes we actually pay. So I got a call that night. I was talking to somebody, and I shared this with them, and I said, I'm going to get angry again, once again, when my taxes go up, but the supervisors shave a penny or two off the rate and tell me my taxes went down. And the person I was talking to said, oh, you know, there's a law, 58.1-3321, that says when the assessments go up, counties and cities must. It's not an option. It's not a nice to do. It's a have to do. They must drop the rate proportionally to equal the same amount of tax levy. And the spirit of the law is so that a new budget conversation picks up where the previous year left off with the same amount of money.
Is this a, when you say it's a legal thing, it's in the code, is this a state issue, a local issue?
It's a state issue.
A state law.
It's a state law. It's in the code of Virginia.
And when did that go into the law?
It has been in effect for decades, I believe.
Okay.
And again, the spirit is truth in taxation, and it's really out of that spirit of that law that our name, Truth in Taxation Alliance, was born. And so what we did is that evening I made up a flyer, about 50 copies, explaining the law. There's two parts to the law. First part we've already discussed. When assessments go up, the rate must drop. Localities have no choice to equal the same amount of taxes overall throughout the locality. The second part of the law says, then, if you want to raise taxes, here's what you must do. Hold two public budget hearings, put an advertisement in the newspaper, there are specifications on the font size of the advertisement, and largely, counties and cities follow those steps. But what they don't do is they don't honor the spirit of the law. They ignore that middle step. That year that we're talking about, 2007, our tax rate was 74 cents per $100 of assessed value. This law dropped the rate to 58 cents. Supervisors were talking about, quote-unquote, maintaining it at 74 cents, when in truth and when in law, they would have been raising it from 58 back up to 74 cents.
You say the spirit of the law. To me, the spirit of the law means that you don't have to do it. That's just what they meant when this was talked about before. But is it the spirit of the law? Because the way I understand what you're saying is if the tax per how, you know, the tax of $100,000 was $100, that if your if the value of your property goes up, you're supposed to drop the tax rate so that you still only owe $100 and then start the discussion all over again as to whether or not you need more or need less.
That's right.
Okay. So if that is the legal part, if that's what the law says, what's the spirit got to do with anything?
The spirit of the law is what is not being honored, was not being honored until we started our organization. And what we got from the Alamar County Board of Supervisors at the time was a shoulder shrug. They would say, well, yeah, your actual taxes are going up. We have no control over that. That's your assessment. We can't control the market. And that's true. But what they purposely ignored was the fact that they had complete control over how much taxes we spent because they set the rate. And they were ignoring that.
All right, Mr. Lebo, by the way, we are talking with the folks from Albemarle Truth in Taxation Alliance. We're talking about taxes. We're talking about tax efficiency. We'll be talking about the recent budget discussions that have been going on in Albemarle. And, folks, this isn't just about Albemarle County. The same discussions are being had in Charlottesville, Nelson, Green, folks in Richmond. The concept applies no matter where you live, even though Chuck Lebo and Keith Drake are here representing an Albemarle group. So don't shy away from listening for the hour, from calling up a little later in the program with your question or comment. Chuck, you participate in this group as a, and you mentioned right away, you're a private business owner. So if I owe $100 to the county, and they're going to, and that's what I owed in 2007, and we go back to, we move up to 2008, and we're going to start with my same $100, aren't I going to owe more anyway because it costs more to run the county than it did in 2007? Everybody's money went up. It costs more for food, it costs more for gas, it costs more for rent, for insurance, etc.
Well, I have to answer that by saying I look at my own business. In the earlier part of this decade, revenues were coming in pretty nicely for those of us in the real estate industry and most everywhere else. 2007, it hit us with a whammy, and I had to assess my own business and decide, where can I cut costs? So I do an annual audit on my insurance for my automobiles, for example. I was able to save 50% by doing that. I looked at my phone bill, my long-distance phone bill. How can I cut that? I found a carrier that was about 60% less than the company I had previously been using. I looked at ways of saving energy in my office. These are just small items, but you have to start somewhere and hope that revenues will come back again. But if they don't, at least I've figured out a way that I can still pay my bills and put food on the table.
Rick, you raise a good point. It does cost more to provide the same level of services to a locality year after year if you assume that there's going to be population growth, which there has been in Albemarle County, if you assume there's going to be inflation, which there has been in Albemarle County. But when you factor that out, let me just give you a couple quick statistics. Between 2001 and 2009,
You know that I believe statistics are only brought forward by those trying to prove their particular side.
Well, that can very well happen. I would challenge anybody to challenge these. Actually, they're just raw core data.
Okay.
You can draw whatever conclusions you want. There's very little analysis other than my commentary. But we picked the 2000-2001 fiscal year as our baseline. What you do, and to put that on the back burner for a second, you raise another very good point, and that is you can make data say whatever you want. And that's what we've seen county government do year after year after year, is they'll pick different time periods. Well, the last 3 years, well, the last 8 years, the last 5 years. Pick a metric and stick with it. And that's what we've done. We've chosen, the last 4 years, we have chosen as our starting point the 2000-2001 fiscal year. During the period of obscene growth, I'll call it, which takes you to the 08-09 fiscal year, county government grew 90%. The population during that time only grew 11%. Now, that 90% growth in the amount of money that county government spent, even if you back out the population growth, even if you back out inflation, it still grew tremendously. In the school division, which is a part of the county budget, The school budget grew 70% during that same time period. The enrollment grew less than 3%, fewer than 3% more students over that time frame. So you have to ask yourself, well, what changed? What was different? I would argue, I know me personally, I don't see that the services I'm enjoying are any better now than they were in 2008 or in the year 2000. They were good then, they're good now. What that growth in government results from is the assessments that went up 10, 15, 20% year after year after year. The money was there, so they took it and they spent it. It gets down to the issue of needs versus wants.
11:12 here on the Wake Up Call. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to give you the phone number. We'll be taking calls in about 10 minutes. 979-0919. That's 979-0919. If you're a little further out and need the toll-free, it's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. We're talking with Chuck Lebo and Keith Drake from the Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance about taxes, about tax efficiency. Keith, most recently you've been in the news because of the utility tax issue. Explain that to some people out there, because, you know, we can talk in some broad band about county government and whether or not we need to go up for schools or down for homeowners, et cetera. But this I found to be interesting and unique because it affected a specific group of people and was, you can take money out of the wallet for this and the ease with which it's understood.
That's right. It's a good issue. When people hear the Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance, when we hear about local taxation, we almost always think of our real estate tax. There are many other taxes that we pay, literally dozens and dozens of taxes. This is an issue that was brought to our organization, and it's a good example. While, as you just pointed out, it affects a very small number of Albemarle County residents, it underscores a much larger point. What happened was about 6 months ago, Bob Short of Short Insurance, he's one of our Albemarle Truth and Taxation leadership team members, he was looking at his utility tax bill, his power bill, and he saw a line item on there for Charlottesville city tax. Well, he lives in Ivy. He lives well into the county. He started thinking about it. He also recalled about 3 years ago, the county did a resource management review, hired consultants. They came in looking for ways the county government could operate more effectively and efficiently. One of the things they identified was there are zip codes in Albemarle County that span both the county and the city, 22901, 22903. If you live in those zip codes, even if you're in the county, you have a Charlottesville, Virginia mailing address. And what was happening with sales, retail sales tax revenue is 5% was being collected, sent to Richmond, 1% is supposed to come back to the locality. What was happening was businesses in those zip codes in the county, the city was receiving those tax revenues. So Bob put two and two together. He said, maybe the same thing's happening with my utility tax. Maybe those utility taxes are going to the city instead of the county. He made some calls. It took him about 2 months to finally determine that, yes, indeed, instead of paying, Albemarle County has a maximum $4 per utility tax bill. It's capped at $4. Whereas the city, it's a percentage. It can be much higher than that. Well, he had two bills that averaged about $20 a month. He had been paying taxes, first of all, too many taxes, a too high amount, and it was going to the city instead of the county. So we jumped on the issue, made some more calls, the media picked it up, and the Dominion Virginia Power, the city, the county are all rectifying the situation.
Chuck, how does this go on for so long? because I would assume that this didn't start happening, the bill that Mr. Short received. It had probably happened for a while. I can't believe that he noticed it on the first one. So it had been ongoing. He's the first person or the first person to do anything about it. And it takes months to make a change to it.
That's what I want to say. Why does it take so long for someone to say, yes, we goofed, we made a mistake? There's an expression that's with the initial CTA. You can figure that out for yourself. Maybe a lot of folks just didn't want to fess up to it. But it's part of the bureaucracy that's out there. It's the only thing I can lay blame to it.
It's a good example, Rick, of, as Chuck points out, inefficiencies. At this point, we think the root cause was within Dominion Power, incorrectly assigning the localities in which those people live. But it also underscores a larger point. We are responsible for our own actions. We are responsible for our own taxation. And it took one Albemarle County citizen, Bob Short, the forethought, the initiative, to question a tax before this issue was discovered. We all have that responsibility. It's up to us whether we want to take on that responsibility or not. It happened with the retail sales tax. It happened with the utility tax. Who knows how many other taxes and fees we pay that are either being charged incorrectly or directed to the wrong locality. I don't know, but I imagine some will surface in the future.
All right, 11:17 here on the Wake Up Call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. There is a flood warning in Charlottesville with a flood watch throughout this evening for the valley. Rain may be heavy at times today. Highs in the upper 50s, even warmer in Richmond, cloudy with the chance of rain tonight, lows 28 to 33. Sunny tomorrow, yay, highs 50 to 55. Right now it's rainy in much of the area, cloudy in the valley in 55, rain in Lynchburg 56, Richmond 63, Charlottesville 58.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Let's see, we do want to thank Dixon Disposal for allowing us to be on the air today. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort it and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. More can be found 978-2111 or online DixonDisposal.com. And just a reminder, there's an awful lot of radio stations and other music sources out there, but only one that brings you the wake-up call every Sunday. And the only reason we can do this is because of listeners like Professor Ramazani, Angie Fink, and Gene McCusker, all who supported us in this fun drive past fall. Also because of program underwriters, like the ones you're hearing from this hour, as well as RVA Magazine and Center Health. So stay tuned, tell a friend about the Wake Up Call and the other programming that you enjoy on WNRN. And remember, the next fund drive coming up in late March. So head on to WNRN.org to see how you can help now. All right, caller, hang on just another 30 seconds. Keith, finish up. We were talking about how people can find out whether they have been traumatized by that utility tax.
If you live in Albemarle County, but you have a Charlottesville, Virginia mailing address, look at your power bill. The tax should be an even $4. If it's any other amount, typically an amount higher than that, call up Dominion Virginia Power. They are well aware of the issue at this point. Tell them you want a refund. Bob Short, who identified the issue, he showed me his last power bill. He had a $530 credit on his power bill going back the last 3 years.
Good Lord. I need that. The cabin doesn't have very efficient heat in the winter.
That's a lot of money to a lot of people these days,
yeah.
That's for sure.
All right. We do have a phone call. We have Larry in North Garden. Larry, you with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. Fire away.
I'm here.
Yes, your question.
Okay. Incidentally, I enjoy your show every Sunday. I bought a building in the county about 5 years ago and paid $2 million for it. And the county since then has raised the evaluation to well above $2 million. And then last year, early in the year, I got them to lower it to below $2 million. And then I redid the loan, so I got an appraisal in November. I took the appraisal to the county assessor and left it with him. He said he'd get right back with me. That was in November. I've called and been by there 5 times. They keep saying, you know, couple more weeks. But to start with, he says that he doesn't always agree with appraisals. I said, well, I don't always agree with you. and I paid, you know, this guy's a professional. I paid good money to have this appraisal done, and I believe it. And they lowered the building to $1.6 million. So I said, you know, that's what I expect my evaluation to be. And he said he'd get back with me. So I'll listen to my answer off the on the air.
All right, thanks.
Larry, well, what did the appraisal, what did it come in at?
Larry, still with us?
He said $1.6 million, I believe. Yeah. So it came down from $2 million. From what he paid at $2 million, it had gone up. And with the economy, the appraisal came in at 1.6. And appraisals are based primarily on comparable sales, real estate sales in the area over the last 6 to 10 months. So it's probably a fact that it is a lower value because most real estate in the entire country, unfortunately, has gone down over the last 3 or 4 years. And I don't know what his answer is to combat that. I mean, you talk to a supervisor or what? The appraisal that is done by a professional is much more accurate than a county assessor, I can tell you that.
Well, and Chuck Lebo here from Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliances, who does work in commercial properties. Keith Drake also here as chairman of the group. One of the things that I heard Larry saying was not just that the value of the property had gone up and gone down, and he needed redoing a loan, and he was basing a lot of his – what I thought I heard was – basing a lot of decisions and financial issues on getting the county to agree with the professional. But I also heard him saying that this guy hadn't gotten back to him since November. That doesn't sound like very efficient work by the county, whether your taxes are a hell of a lot or stinking low.
And I can't imagine they're too busy right now because there's not a whole lot of new construction going on.
Rick, from the years 2000 through 2008, the Community Development Department, planning, zoning, permits, applications, things like that, they received an average of about 940 applications, building permit applications. In 2009, that number was less than half, 420. Now, that's not the only thing they do, process those applications, but it's a large part of their work. They reduced their staff from 77 FTEs to 76 and a half.
And what's an FTE?
Full-time equivalent.
Okay.
An employee, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I think it's egregious that here's a gentleman who owns a very expensive building who is therefore paying a lot of taxes to Albemarle County based on the value of that building, and who sounds like has a legitimate question. To me, that deserves a very, very quick response. Larry, I would just encourage you to be persistent with the folks in county government that you've been working with, but attend a Board of Supervisor meeting. Go, and there is time at the beginning of every meeting for citizens to get up and air their grievances. That's in the Constitution, the right to redress government. And you get your 3 minutes and tell them what's going on. Specifically, speak to your supervisor. They typically are very responsive, all six of them. So there's a couple other avenues for you.
All right, 11:24. Larry, thank you for listening on a regular basis, and I hope our hour today gives you some information on what to do next. The show will be podcast, SeavillePodcast.com. You're always welcome to call that guy up and tell him that we were talking about him during the hour. Maybe that'll get him moving along. All right, 11:25 on the program. Support today coming from The Backyard, the university's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. March 14th through 19th is St. Patrick's Week, with Irish beer taking over the taps and daily Irish food specials. The Backyard has a seasonal menu and is available for private events. For more info, including March Madness, it's 434-202-8215, thebackyarduva.com, and you can find them on Facebook. All right, Keith Drake and Chuck Lebo here as we talk about Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance. Guys, one of the things that you do is try and get not just the public but the government to work together on keeping taxes low through efficiency. And one of the things that I found interesting was that Keith, and I read this, I don't know if I read it in an email from you or your name was listed in the Daily Progress article or the Hook article about the clapping for a good job that was done for Tom Foley and his organization from the county when discussing the upcoming budget. Because of what you meant to be keeping the taxes low and being efficient.
Going back to last year, the first budget hearing, the auditorium in Albemarle County, it was full. There must have been 300 or 400 people there, as you can imagine, both budget hearings last year, beginning and end of March. And as you can imagine, there were folks on the side, hold the line on taxes. This is not the time in this economy to be raising taxes. You had the folks on the other side of the equation, especially from the education area, saying the only way we're going to survive is to raise taxes. I fully expected there to be the same outcry this year. The budget is about the same as it was last year, a little bit of an increase. The tax rate is going to stay the same. The assessments went down just a little bit. All the arguments that existed last year exist this year. Despite our hoping for change over the last year, the economy is about the same bad as it was last year. But unfortunately, there weren't more than 50 people, maybe as few as 30 or 40 in the audience.
You say unfortunately. Isn't that the sign of a good job when you don't have people on both sides arguing?
It can be, and I think it partially is. And that's why I applauded Mr. Foley and the board for doing a good job. But when you peel back that top layer, all the fundamental arguments still exist. On my side of the argument, I think there are still tremendous amounts of efficiencies that can be squeezed out of county government. We're doing an analysis now, and this talks to the school division specifically, but we have compared Albemarle County to four other counties of like size, both number of pupils, number of schools, who by objective test scores have better outcomes. Their students are better educated, but they operate at about 20% per capita less than we do. Now, certainly there are differences or factors there that aren't here, vice versa, but the question is what I did not hear in Mr. Foley's presentation, what I've not read in the media, is any efforts ongoing to find out best practices from other localities. There are things we can learn from those other localities and things they can learn from us. If we're truly all in this together, then we need to share our experiences and how we've made government more efficient and benefit the taxpayers even further.
Chuck, what makes a fair and efficient budget?
Well, it can be many things, but one of which I am aware at a recent meeting that I attended, I'm on the board of directors for our local Chamber of Commerce, and Pam Moran, superintendent of Elmore County Schools is on our board, and she brought up an idea that the fleet system for the school buses is working on a program by using GPS systems and discussions with the drivers on how to decrease the number of miles that the school buses are running each year. They think that this can be into the tens of thousands of miles and possibly approach 100,000 miles. Now, that not only saves wear and tear on the buses, but with the price of fuel going up, this can be a tremendous savings. Now, this is just one area, and everybody talks about we need to lower taxes. How do you lower taxes? It's through efficiencies, and not everybody has the answers for all of it, but she came up with one idea, and if somebody comes up with another idea and another idea, you know, before long, this thing could grow, and it would be something that we can share, as Keith mentioned, to other localities to save other people across the state and across the nation, and hopefully things like that will happen from other localities that they can share with us.
Rick, our school bus fleet operates at a cost of about $2.50 per mile. So you can imagine annually what the savings would be by carving out tens of thousands of miles that our buses travel every year. I think they've made vast improvements, but the statistic about 3 years ago, 24% of all the miles traveled by our school buses are what's called deadhead miles. Miles traveled by the buses without students on board. That was among the highest in the Commonwealth. It sounds like Pam Moran's idea will reduce those deadhead miles at a cost savings to the taxpayers and at no loss in the quality of service to our community.
979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Talking with two gentlemen from the Albemarle Truth in Taxation Alliance, ATTA, Keith Drake, the chairman, Chuck Lebo, a member, and dial us up just like Joe from Rutgersville. Hey, Joe.
Well, hello. Keith, you guys are involved quite a bit in exposing stuff and looking into budgets, but do you have a recommendation? Maybe you can get some insiders to get participating, maybe even give them tips on how to be whistleblowers if they see corruption or something that they be reported, even if it's anonymous. Are you getting some help from inside on this? And maybe you can advise on people that want to expose this and not, for, you know, without fear of losing the job and all that. I'll stand off the air and listen. Thanks,
Joe.
Yeah, Joe, that's an excellent point. And what you suggest is, I feel, part of the responsibility we all share. When I say we, it's taxpayers, it's the Board of Supervisors, and it's county staff. I'm sure there are mechanisms within county government to report fraud, waste, abuse, and inefficiencies, but we also know that there's politics in any organization, whether it's public or private. We have had a couple examples over the past 4 years of county employees approaching us and saying, you really need to look into this or look into that. And we've, on occasion, shed some light on those issues. But if anybody, Rick, I don't know if it's okay to give out my private contact information.
Hey, man.
If anybody,
you want people dialing you up.
that's fine with me. I will say that Chuck, myself, the other members of the ADA leadership team, we're all volunteers. None of us gets paid a single cent. We donate our own time to this cause. And the more folks we have working with us, the easier and more effective job we can all have. But if anybody has anything they'd like us to look into, give me a call at home at 974-1617 or shoot me an email at Keith, K-E-I-T-H, .Drake@earthlink.net.
Gentlemen, so Joe dials up and asks for how to tell on people. And I think that just current and everyday cultural lifestyle assumes that if you have five people in a room, somebody's doing something that is just a little bit out of the spirit that we talked about earlier. And so if you have, how many county employees are there? 400, 500?
Right around 580 right now.
Okay.
Not including education.
That's right. You can quadruple that if you include the education division.
Okay. But isn't there, I don't want to say a better way, but it just seems like telling on people doesn't solve the problems in the best way, because what you do is you take somebody out, and I don't want to make Joe's way of helping solve the problem sound bad, because it's not. It's the spirit of how a lot of good things have come to light and solved a lot of problems. But it just seems to me as though that's a small percentage, a much smaller percentage, of working together to solve problems, such as Superintendent Moran's suggestion of with the school buses. I just don't know that you're going to find hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time by telling on the person you know whose county fleet car you saw in the restaurant parking lot on Saturday night. Tell me about other ways, because Keith, and I know that there are people listening who know what your past experience was in politics. You were chairman of the local Republican Party. Chuck, I don't shamefully say that I don't know, but I don't know how you were involved locally. But when I look at the names on the list, I recognize some Republican folks, some teabagger folks. I don't recognize any Democratic names. Doesn't mean that they're not there. People who pay attention to the news recognize that ATTA has been on Mr. Schilling's show, and they recognize his political viewpoints. So how do you do this as a group of both sides of all county folks, rather than just nitpicking, and that's a bad choice of words, rather than just picking out one or two people there for $100 and $50 and et cetera, rather than hundreds of thousands at a time with good, strong suggestions?
Well, Ricky, you raised several good points, and let me just respond to the party politics question. I was chairman of the Albemarle Republicans from 2001 through 2008. About 6 months ago, I resigned my membership in the Republican Party. I felt that both locally and within the 5th District, there was too much partisanship and not enough principled behavior. I will always lean on the side of principle over party and partisanship. And that's why I resigned my membership, and so I no longer have any official affiliation with the Republican Party. To get to your, and I think it's a good term, nitpicking. Certainly that employee who may be using their government vehicle to go out to dinner at night, and I've seen that. I've seen cars in front of one of the restaurants in Hollymead Town Center with a state government license plate on there. Well, that may prevent, you know, $10 or $5 in gas. What it does, first of all, is it changes the behavior for that one individual. They're going to stop wasting our money from that point onward. Number two, it puts everybody on notice. And I'm not saying that there's any kind of issue. I'm just using this more or less as a hypothetical example. It puts everybody on notice that this type of behavior, this type of misuse of taxpayer money, is not going to be tolerated any further, and those employees will be less likely to do it. But let me wrap back to Joe's point and tie in, you know, what the good, almost philosophical questions that you're asking, by way of a vignette. In 2004, Albemarle County committed $3.7 million to build the Hollymead Fire Station. It's right off of Airport Road. As you go to the airport, over the course of 3 years, the cost of putting that building in place grew from $3.7 million. To $5.4 million. It is a Taj Mahal. My fiance from Houston, Texas, was in over the holidays with her two daughters, the 22-year-old and the 19-year-old. I took all three of them down the road, and I said, I'm going to show you a building. It's going to appear on your left just over the rise. I want you to tell me what you think that building, what purpose it serves. Erin, the 22-year-old, as soon as she saw it, she said, is that a city hall or something? And I said, no, it's just a fire station. There was a 46% increase in a three-year period in the cost of building that fire station. All we got was a shoulder shrug from the county saying, oh, well, we overran it. And one, I feel it's an excuse, not a reason. The excuse was, well, it was built to last 100 years. Well, I want to see that in the specifications that went out for the request for proposal. Make sure this thing lasts 100 years. Rick, there are five kinds of tile in the men room. They are laid on the diagonal. That is the, with the exception of Hugo Frog's restaurant in Chicago, Illinois, that is the nicest bathroom I have ever been in. And I'm nearly 50 years old. That says something. To wrap back to Joe's point, if there had been someone in county government that said, this budget for this fire station is growing out of control, we need to do something, then perhaps the taxpayers would have saved $1 million or $2 million. Perhaps we could have gotten that fire station without the five kinds of tile, maybe only two kinds of tile. Maybe instead of brick porticos, just straight-up walls, and save the taxpayers $1 million. But nobody in county government wanted to blow the whistle. Nobody in county government had the fortitude to say, this is wrong, and while I blame them partially, I don't totally blame them, because as I mentioned a minute ago, there's internal office politics, there's the just don't rock the boat. You've got a government job, just don't rock the boat mentality. And that results in taxpayers footing the bill.
All right, 11:39 here on the Wake Up Call, discussing taxes, Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance, Chuck Lebo and Keith Drake.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, on the surface, conservation tax credits seem like a win-win situation. Generous donors are rewarded for giving up development rights, but closer scrutiny shows the very rich are getting even richer. What exactly does local business Blue Ridge Numerics do? And why is another company buying them for $39 million? And Dr. Hook thinks the placebo effect can provide real positive results. The Hook, new copy every Thursday. And support today also coming from Sugar Snap, offering gently used baby and kids items, including shoes, hats, plus maternity and nursing clothes. You'll also find cloth diapers, diaper bags, and locally made items. A kid-friendly play area is available while you shop. You can become a fan of Sugar Snap on Facebook or Twitter. Also online, sugarsnapconsignment.com. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because Drew Thompson will be here at noon for Les Temps Perdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative music. You'll have Pearl Jam, Wall of Voodoo, Simple Minds, all brought to you in part by Orzo and the Visualite. Requests are always welcome on Les Temps Perdue at noon. Chuck, we talk about efficiency in government. Are there any services or departments that in a local scheme that don't get enough funding, that maybe you take it from somewhere else, or maybe there is a reason to increase taxes because of that or those departments?
Well, as we mentioned before, construction's down considerably in this area, so you have a lot of folks working in community development. Keith said we're down like a half an employee. I'm on the Architectural Review Board, and we used to have three folks for the county that were employed for the Architectural Review portion of the county as far as staff members go. We're now down to two. We used to have cases, applications before us, 8, 9, 10, 11, every other Monday, and now we're down to two or three at the most. Sometimes we don't even have any. So when you see development down in the area, you have to wonder, why do we still have so many folks on staff? And, you know, a lot of these folks are my friends. I'm not trying to eliminate their jobs. But maybe instead of hiring people to go in new departments, maybe they can reassign some of these folks to other areas. I'm not asking anybody to axe their job. But let's stop hiring folks right now while we're still under some dire straits in this economy.
But so what departments do need? What I mean, we talk about more efficient government. We talk about reducing taxes. Both of you saying that nobody's being shorted?
When you say nobody?
Well, that there are no departments, that there are no groups receiving less government services than they should. When we take it to a federal level, people are, depending on your side of the line, people say there's far too much money being spent in the Department of Defense and not enough being spent in a more personal level, whether it's
transportation.
Yes, let's talk about Department of Transportation for the state of Virginia, or even locally. But there are many people who would say, take that percentage from this, slice of the pie and put it in this slice of the pie. Do either of you believe that there is a section of the local government that isn't getting as much as it should give? And by the way, dial up with your question, 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks.
Rick, last year, again to tie back to the budget hearings in March of 2010, the outcry from the school division was, if you don't raise our taxes 15-20%, it will, and I'm characterizing certainly, but it will mean doom for our education system. For example, Brian Wheeler, who is the chairman of the Albemarle County School Board at the time, he was proposing a 14% tax increase on homeowners as a way to cover the revenue shortfall, eliminate the need to make major cuts. Well, you know what? There was a 0% tax increase last year. We actually had a 3% decrease. And while there was some pain, I think there are teachers out there who have more students, I think probably working longer hours. The fact is everybody is feeling pain, not just in the public sector, but in private industry as well, as Chuck has outlined. So if we're truly all in this together, then we're all in this together, and everybody just can't have what they want in government. The fundamental answer to your question is it comes down to a matter of wants versus needs. Government should fund the things that it needs to fund, that the localities have, and the wants, I would argue, should not be addressed at all. I lean very hard to the right, conservative with a strong libertarian streak. My personal philosophy is if a service or a product can be provided by private industry, then government should not be providing it. Government should not be directly competing with private industry. Certainly there's some gray area in there, but I think that's the fundamental starting point.
Well, I don't want to take this conversation away from Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance. That's what we're here to talk about, what the group does, what you gentlemen provide, and the thought process that goes into that. But when we talk about taking private industry away, private industry goods away from the public sector, let the private industry do it. Certainly health insurance is all in the news for everyone. Are you saying that the government jobs should not have health insurance in them, or should have a very limited amount of health insurance? Because, and I'm not talking about to necessarily the individual. I'm talking about to those who don't make enough money, those who might be in a social sector class that cannot purchase their own because the private sector costs so much and you can't choose between having health care and buying food or having shelter.
Well, I don't know of a government employee that doesn't have health insurance, and I think they're very fortunate that they do have that.
And that's true, but I'm talking about the government providing health insurance through organizations, through to someone who doesn't work for the government, but the government provides them some sort of care.
Well, I've always believed that government that governs least governs best, and there's another fine statement that I've seen in my lifetime that said, "Ask not what your country can do for you." So I'll leave it with that.
Yeah, when we talk about health care, to kind of swing back to our Albemarle County government employees, health care costs have risen for everybody over the past 3 years, or probably over the past 10 years. But if we just look at the past 3 years, Albemarle County employees, their share of purchasing health care has remained flat, $40 a month. The county, and therefore the taxpayers, has borne the burden of those increased health care costs. I know where I work. I work for a local health care IT company. I have to pay more year after year. My company pays more year after year. We bear that burden of the increase. But again, this is local, but it's a fundamental point. In an email communication from Albemarle County dated December 2009, we were told that it is the county's objective to maintain our competitive position for benefits at 105% above market. What that means is a little more than twice. Albemarle County health care benefits, the goal is to have at least twice as good health care benefits as in private industry. Why twice as much? To me, that's egregious. To me, it ought to be on par with private industry at the best.
As an organization that chooses the goal of government efficiency, trimming fat from the government, how do you make a choice between, and two individuals who are deep into the community, and by that I mean know a large number of people and know them from all classes, from all areas in our area. When you talk on a just the topical level of discussing efficiency, how do you balance that with knowing that trimming this job here or taking dollars away from here fall onto the person? How do you accept that and work that through your mindset?
Well, I can't talk about government employees. They can answer that question themselves. But as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, in 07 and 08, I took a 27% cut in my revenues in my company. So, and I'm still here. I'm still surviving. I'm still putting food on the table, and I still have a roof over my head. I'm not asking the government employees take a 27% whack like I did, but maybe they just don't get the number of increases in their salary that they've enjoyed for so many years.
Rick, I think we've gotten to the point here locally, across the state, across the nation, where for some reason government employees are a protected class. David Slutsky, former member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, he would often start, this is going back 2 years ago, I believe, the budget discussions 2-3 years ago, he would often start out by saying, well, of course we don't want to let any employees go, therefore, and my response would be, why not? My business, to give you an example, the downturn in the economy 9 years ago, over a two-year period, we went from 110 employees to 45. Half of that was through normal attrition, but the other half was through two very painful reductions in force. We had to let go our friends. We were a family, and that was tough. That was painful, and it was horrible for those individuals who lost their jobs. But there is no reason why government should be a protected class and not have to suffer the same pain. You never want to fire anybody, no. I think by and large our county employees do a good job. But when I hear stories of a local store owner out in the country who sees two folks from community development, planning, permitting, application, zoning, come in and says, what are you boys doing here? This is about 4 years ago. What are you boys doing here? And he is told, we had nothing to do. We were sitting at our desk. They told us to get out and drive around so no one would see us with nothing to do. As a taxpayer, that gets under my skin.
11:51 on the wake-up call, talking with Keith Drake, Chuck Lebo, representatives from the Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance. Let me thank, Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. They're with us every Sunday. Coming to Charlottesville Sunday the 13th, it's the Banff Mountain Film Festival. They feature mountain adventure and culture, paddling and biking, with different features on the 2 days. This year's beneficiary is the Ivy Creek Foundation, who brings nature and environmental education to the community. And all this will happen at the Paramount Theater in Charlottesville. Tickets are at the Paramount, as well as at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports stores. Guys, let's go back to Tom Foley and the budget that he and his group are working on for the upcoming Albemarle County years. And Keith, I think I got this from you. What qualifies as increased efficiency? That was something that Mr. Foley talked about when speaking to the group, and some of the things that got listed, different ways to manage the county fleet of vehicles, custodial services, getting contracted out, staff reductions, cutback hours at the beaches, and eliminating some planner positions, historic resources, and rural protection. Chuck and Keith, talk about some of those as potential ways of making county government more efficient to save taxes.
Well, I applauded Mr. Foley during the budget hearing this past Wednesday. He, in his presentation, said that of the resource management review that was performed on county government 2 or 3 years ago, the county has addressed, I don't know if that means actually implemented, but at least they've taken a hard look at 84% of the recommendations in that report. And that's great. While, you know, reduce staff hours here and shorter hours at the beach, you know, maybe $10,000 here, $20,000 there, it all adds up, and it all adds up to more efficient and effective government. What I was very disappointed in not hearing was the similar study that was done on the school division. I have not heard anything on that in the past year at least. I think there's a lot of efficiencies. I sat on the Long Range Planning Commission of the Albemarle County School Board. It's a citizen advisory group 4 or 5 years ago. And during one of the presentations, we talked about transportation. And a presentation was made, and part of it was a suggestion that we needed to spend $40,000 on a new bus wash. And I'm thinking the buses I see driving around are pretty clean. And I asked the gentleman, does the existing bus wash work? He said, yeah, but it's 20 years old. You want to replace these occasionally. $40,000. That's as much tax as 20 homes in Albemarle County pay during the course of the year. It's that mentality, it's that kind of thinking that has led to the growth in government and a lack of efficiency.
I got this, I'm pretty sure, off one of the emails that I received from ATTA. And I quote the part, we get the government we deserve. Does that sound appropriate? Does that sound like something I copied from you? Because I did a lot of homework
Vaguely,
on this.
Yeah.
We get the government we deserve. And my question is, or do we get the government we want? And it seems like there are disagreements. The people who, I'm going to say, was going to sound unusual. We get the government we want. That costs more money, right, for some sides. And for other sides, it costs less. For a libertarian, it costs less. For someone who has three kids going to school, maybe it costs more. So how do you find the middle ground?
Well, you know, we've been talking primarily about Albemarle County today, but, you know, we're all citizens or consider ourselves a part of the city of Charlottesville. We're more or less all one. And I would like to invite everybody to read the front page of today's Daily Progress. The city has a new city manager, Maurice Jones, whom I've had the pleasure of meeting and listening to him speak. And if you read what he has to say today, I think Charlottesville is finally on its way of figuring out, after the nearly 40 years that I've lived here, you just cannot tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. And Maurice has this figured out, and I applaud the city for hiring a gentleman like him and the county for hiring a gentleman like Tom Foley. It starts at the top, and people can learn from these folks, and hopefully the departments will improve with efficiencies when you have good city managers and good county executives.
There's also an element, Rick, in your question about we get the government we deserve.
Those of you listening on the podcast, maybe we will be able to trim that out, but we did just have a weather warning. Keith Drake and Chuck Lebo here. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Keith?
Well, I think we just heard with the weather warning another example of government intrusion and too much government.
I don't know. If you live at the bottom of the stream, I don't know. Maybe you consider that to be a thank you.
Well, maybe folks can just look out the window and see that it's raining hard. We were talking about, do we get the government we deserve or do we get the government we want? A lot of times we get the government we don't know about. I think if more people knew about how government operates, local government, state government, federal government, they would appreciate that there are better ways of doing things and more cheaply. And what that ultimately results in, Rick, is more money in my pocket. Other folks may feel differently, but I want as much control over my money as possible so that if I can choose to donate to a local organization or do with it what I want. I can stimulate the economy by going to one of the stores that Chuck manages. Not give it to government and trust and cross my fingers that it's going to be spent well, because as we've seen over and over and over again here in Albemarle County, it's not spent well.
Just a minute or two left before Drew comes on with Les Temps Purdue. Keith, so what's coming up with Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance? Because the budget has not been signed, correct? You applauded Mr. Foley for the good work that they did, but certainly you didn't give him a gold star and walk away knowing that you're done for the year with this.
That's right. What will happen now is in about 3.5 weeks, the Albemarle County Supervisors will hold their second budget hearing on both the budget and the tax rate. There's a series of working sessions between now and then, and then in about a month they'll set the tax rate and the budget. I think there's still room for improvement in the tax rate, improvement for efficiencies in government. I think the wrong message was sent to the Board of Supervisors, and that is the Albemarle County taxpayers are complacent. They're okay with the budget. It's not great. It is good. It doesn't raise our taxes, because over the past year we demonstrated we don't need to. But there's still a lot of work to be done, and the Truth and Taxation Alliance is going to do that work, whether it's issues of the budget specifically, things like the utility tax, or just suggesting to government in general how it can operate more effectively and more efficiently. We're going to do that throughout the year.
Gentlemen, thank you both for coming on. Chuck Lebo, Keith Drake, Albemarle Truth and Taxation Alliance. It will be posted on SeavillePodcast.com. And Kristen is usually very good about providing a link to the ATTA site as well. Next week, we will have discussion about adult protective services, things needed for seniors in your life, and ways to make sure that they are living healthy and safe. Adios.
Thank you, Rick.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.